A growing number of school districts in need of upgrades or repairs are looking to voter-approved funding sources like bonds and overrides. In the last 2 years, Arizona voters approved more than $2 billion in bonds alone. But what happens when money to cover building needs relies on the success of a campaign? In a joint investigation with the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, Carrie Young and Evan Wyloge take a closer look.
Thank you all for coming.
Last May, four school districts and several education advocacy groups called a press conference at Landmark Elementary School in Glendale to announce they were suing the state. Their problem? State funding for capital needs. Their attorney, Tim Hogan, argued it's far from enough, and that's leading too many districts to rely on local tax initiatives to make repairs.
That's an unfair system. It's unfair to schools, it's unfair to students, and it's unfair to taxpayers.
This capital needs funding issue isn't new here in Arizona. In fact, Hogan won a similar lawsuit in 1994. At that time, the state Supreme Court ruled that funding capital improvements through local taxpayers is unconstitutional because it creates a system of rich and poor districts. The state responded, in part, by creating an agency called the School Facilities Board, or SFB, to ensure funding would be available to any school district.
We've built over 300 schools since our inception in 1999.
Carrie Campbell is the agency's deputy director of operations. She explains the SFB is charged with giving money to schools for things like building needs and even books.
The School Facilities Board wants to do what we can to help the school districts that need our help. We offer technical expertise. Obviously, we have funding available.
The key phrase here being do what we can. Campbell says the SFB's funding levels have dropped in recent years, going from a high of $930 million in 2003 to about $300 million today. So what the agency can do and for how many schools is limited. At the same time, schools have increasingly turned to bonds and overrides to cover basic needs, like replacing an aging school bus fleet. Across the state, the passage rate for school bond and override initiatives has been on the rise. In fact, this year, Maricopa County voters approved every bond and override proposed from the county school districts for the first time in recent history.
K-12 is by far the most active entities that have bonds.
Rebecca Morris is a construction engineer and owner of the Arizona Builders Exchange. Her company collects and compiles public procurement data for the group's trade publication, which is sold to design and construction firms.
So a city might have a bond every 10 years or so.
But schools regularly go to voters to approve budget overrides about once every 5 years. For example, Vocational School Westmeck has passed two bonds in the last 5 years. And voters in the Tempe Elementary School District have also passed two bonds in the last 5 years, totaling about $200 million. Morris says the K-12 sector is different when it comes to procurement. In addition to the frequency that districts go to the voters for funding,
there's a very few number of people who are actually getting work in this space.
Meaning there's a lot of repeat business between Arizona districts and vendors. According to public procurement records compiled by Morris and the Arizona Builders Exchange, between 2013 and 2016, a group of three architects, three construction firms, and three subcontractors ended up being part of more than half of all K-12 projects. In stark comparison, during that same time period, Arizona State University contracted with repeat vendors only about 20% of the time. In fact, all three state universities, the state's largest community college districts, and several cities all show less concentration of projects going to repeat vendors. It's worth mentioning that the Arizona Builders Exchange only tracks contracts made using public procurement practices, meaning somewhere around half of all procurements.
We spoke with dozens of sources to try to find out more about what could be leading to this pattern, including the School Facilities Board. They have a bird's eye view of this process because they review all public K-12 capital improvement projects to ensure that they meet the state's minimum quality standards. Carrie Campbell, the agency's executive director of operations, says there's no simple answer to this question. Schools are working with limited budgets and rely on companies they know can get the job done well. Working on a campus with kids also brings unique challenges, but Campbell adds,
we hear rumors and stories about, you know, certain parts of the state that, you know, are run by the good old boys club.
In Scottsdale Unified School District, a group of parents and activists believe pre-existing relationships were at play when the district began working on a plan for significant renovations to their schools. Records obtained by KJZZ and AZCIR suggest officials with SUSD had plans to hire architect Hunt and Caraway before the official procurement process got underway. SUSD has had to hire outside counsel to determine whether procurement laws were properly followed, and investigators from the Arizona Attorney General's office have also begun a civil and criminal investigation. We also looked to public records for some answers. AZCIR analyzed 4 years' worth of campaign finance records from K-12 bond and override elections in Maricopa County and noticed a few new patterns, including significant bond campaign contributions from the same companies who bid on, and in many cases won contracts for, the jobs the funding pays for. Tomorrow, we'll take a deeper dive into those numbers and hear from the schools and companies themselves about what created this unique business environment. Reporting from Phoenix, I'm Evan Wyloge with the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting.
And I'm Carrie Young, KJZZ News.
Just like candidate elections, getting the word out about a school bond or override on a ballot takes money. Donors can include everyone from community members to school employees. But campaign finance documents show some of the largest donations come from the vendors who compete for the jobs the bond money will help to fund. In the last installment of KJZZ's joint report with the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting, Carrie Young and Evan Wyloge report.
The funds that support campaign activities behind school ballot initiatives are managed by political committees, and for the most part, where that money comes from is a matter of public record. Campaign finance records for the committees show architects, contractors, and various sub-vendors accounted for significant portions of the overall funding. From 2013 to 2016, bond and override committees in Maricopa County received at least half of their funding from architects, general contractors, and subcontractors. For some districts, these numbers are even higher. Take the Saddle Mountain Unified School District near Tonopah, for example. Their 2013 bond committee got more than 99% of their funding from those vendor categories. The district's 2014 override election was similar, coming in at about 96%.
Now, numbers tell only part of the story. To find out more, we started asking questions.
Hi, my name is Carrie Young. I'm a
am working on a story and...
So do you think if I call back around 11:30, I might be able to catch
her? We spoke with Kimberly Moran, the treasurer of Continue the Quality, which campaigns for three West Valley school districts. Of the $122,000 her committee raised for elections in 2014, 2015, and 2016, $92,000 of that came from potential vendors. More than half of that came from three architects and three construction firms.
Yeah, it's no secret that it's the folks that are going to actually be making money potentially off of the contracting portion of this that contribute to the campaign.
Moran is quick to add that a $10,000 campaign contribution isn't going to buy you a contract, but...
I guess maybe if there was a new company that was up and coming, that would be definitely a way to start relationships in the district.
And it is this, what I think is a less than ideal situation, that in order to build a school, we have to reach out to the vendors who might be building the school in order to pass the bonds to pay those same vendors or different vendors.
Mitzi Epstein is a state legislator and former chair of Yes Public Ed, a committee that ran campaigns for the Kyrene School District's ballot initiatives. Epstein says she can see how quid pro quo could be inferred from this pattern, but stresses that the state-mandated procurement process, which in most cases involves a committee review and ratings-based selection process, would prevent that.
But when we asked a cross-section of architecture firms, contractors, and subcontractors that do a lot of the work in the K-12 sector here, they say their motives are simple: to support public education because the state isn't providing adequate funding.
It's important to me to help kids.
If we're not investing in our kids, we've got a big issue.
Our fellow architects are as, I believe, dedicated to really helping our future kids.
That was Barry Chase with Chase Building Team, Natalie Orne with Core Construction, and Pam Leffelman with DLR Group Architects. And when we asked these companies why they carried so much of the campaign finance burden for the school bond and override committees, they told us that helping schools get the funding they need is just the right thing to do. Again, Natalie Orne with Core Construction.
That's what we believe is right, is supporting our public school system.
For some districts, the support goes beyond campaign financing. Several leaders and employees of these potential vendors are also active participants on school foundations, which are separate nonprofits that raise money for a particular school. Orne, for example, is the president of the Queen Creek Schools Education Foundation. Architecture firm Orkut Winslow also has a tie to that foundation. Visby Karanja, a managing partner with the company, is the foundation's vice president.
I think in the overall scheme of things, at least for Orchard Winslow, it balances out. We don't just support districts who only have construction bonds going up. Our resources are limited, but we try to help out as many as we can.
Forming relationships with clients and potential clients is common in any business sector. But Dean Howard, who worked in public procurement for Goodyear and Phoenix and now works for a large electrical engineering firm, says he's observed the same patterns.
There are a lot of discussions about, well, there's only really, you know, two or three, maybe four general contractors that are getting all that work. To me, I hear that. I'm like, well, okay, what about the subcontractors? Well, that's kind of the same deal. Well, then maybe I just don't even want to mess with that.
Some campaign support we can't track as easily. In 2012 and 2013, a group called the Coalition for Education Excellence raised about $449,000 and donated it to a variety of bond and override committees. Because it's a 501c4, the group isn't required to disclose the source of their funds. That fact often earns 501c4s that spend money in elections the moniker dark money groups. But Kathy Elliott, the treasurer for the group, told us the money came from vendors who worked with the districts. During an on-the-record interview that was not recorded, she also said the group was established to keep secret the fact that it was architects, contractors, and subcontractors putting money towards helping the bond and override elections pass.
As we mentioned in yesterday's story, public K-12 districts award more repeat business contracts than any other public entities in the state. But Laura Felton, the assistant superintendent for business operations at the Paradise Valley School District, says that pattern has nothing to do with favorites.
If you're in a tenuous situation where you have a live campus going, a very active community, you're going to be using the people you've had success with in the past.
Michelle Gales, the chief strategy officer at the Phoenix Union High School District, adds,
I know the seriousness with which the team at Phoenix Union takes the procurement process. And so really just focusing on the due diligence of it and making sure that everything that is a decision is based really on qualifications to do the job.
One of our final stops for this story was the School Facilities Board. Carrie Campbell, the SFB's executive director of operations, says the agency has a unique view of this landscape because they review the contracts for the school building projects they fund and make sure all other school projects meet minimum quality standards.
We have found that school districts often pick the same vendors over and over and over again.
Campbell says some are better than others, though she wouldn't name specifics.
And some of those that they choose, we have the same problems with, every project. You know, they don't follow the documentation process like they should. They're, you know, not as communicative as they could be.
Campbell says her agency has considered supporting legislation that would add new oversight to the school's procurement process following bond and override elections. Right now, schools must follow state procurement laws, but there is no central oversight for the process. Reporting from Phoenix, I'm Evan Wyloge with the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting.
And I'm Carrie Young, KJZZ News.